This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? I'm Chris Fairbanks.
I'm Karen Kilgariff.
And we are driving John Doerr.
Who's
from Canada.
From Canada.
We've driven from Canada.
Yeah.
It's a long drive, and I just started recording. We could have
taken advantage.
Gotten a lot of good stuff up till now.
You guys came and got me in Canada, and then you forgot the batteries for the recorder, so we drove to California. Now we're just driving around.
To get fresh California batteries.
It's funny that this recording device will not accept Canadian batteries. I did not know that they were different.
They're in kilometers. It's very different. Or Celsius. No. What are batteries?
I don't know, and I don't know the conversion
volts.
Rate.
Loonies? They're loonies and doobloonies up there.
Yeah.
They're volts in Canada. I don't know what you guys use here, but they go in backwards. They're all upside down.
No, we don't use that.
Yeah, we don't. I haven't understood this device so far. But I think so far, if someone wants to complain about how we sound, go ahead and do that. But first, give us a nice review on iTunes.
Yeah, give us a nice review on iTunes, but then complain the hell out of it on Twitter, because there's no such thing as bad press about
right.
your sound.
That's right. Bad news is good news.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
That's what they always say.
And if they're hearing it, then at least, you know, it's working.
Right.
So exactly. Something's working.
That's a bonus.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They got something.
I feel like there needs to be more gratitude in the world. It's not, oh, my podcast isn't recorded at a good level. How about just, like, God bless the fact that I have podcasts?
Karen, exactly. Thank you for saying it, because I didn't want to bring it up. The world is too negative.
Yeah.
We need more positivity.
We really do.
I was watching some very positive YouTube videos last night.
Which ones?
I found this guy in, I don't even know how I came across it. He does this podcast out of New York City, and he preaches positivity, and he's just like this, you know, like first year college kid running around doing like a vlog with his friends, and it's the most entertaining thing. He like paints his little niece's face and makes her look like Drake, and then just it's like
you
the
mean
most
blackface?
Innocent hilarious
because I don't that's
see
innocent.
That's
puts a goatee
or
on her
positive.
Well, it depends how you look at it. It depends. If you're racist, then you don't think it's bad.
Then you think it's great, and you're grateful for more racism in the world.
Or like-minded people. You got to be positive.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
I always thought that if hate groups, like every oppressed group has always risen to power, right?
Sure.
So they've always overcome. History tells us that if you oppress a group of people, they will rise up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to listen to their comedy or their music, then love them. And then that way they won't feel the need to achieve anything.
You know, right? I agree with that. And I see that on individual levels too. Like when someone has a bad upbringing or not enough support from their parents, that lights a fire under their ass to prove their parents wrong. And they
Literally?
Yeah.
It's a literal fire.
It's child abuse, really.
Yeah. Oh my God. It lights a wild hare under their ass. A literal wild rabbit crawls up their ass and makes them become more successful.
Where did you grow up?
Well, in a field with not a lot of guidance. I was I wasn't raised by wolves, but I was adopted by some.
You were adopted by wolves.
My parents did the initial work and signed the papers, but they didn't know wolves were coming. You just got to cross-check when you're giving a baby away.
Yeah, like, who is this legal guardian?
Are they going to be human?
Is it a wolf? Yeah.
Is it or is it not a wolf? A lot of agencies don't check hard enough.
Yeah, they don't. They're so lazy.
But if you, you know, have someone like me, my parents believed in me the whole time, and now I'm really lazy.
Now you're podcasting.
Full disclosure, I've never seen Dances with Wolves.
Really?
Never seen it, no.
What would you say the Canadian equivalent would be to that film?
Just a photo of Kevin Costner naked.
The equivalent would be,
all the boot pelts.
All a boot dancing with these wolves, eh? I don't dance, so if for me it would be sitting on a chair in the corner with music playing, watching the wolves while they dance, and I have nothing to do with it.
And you're kind of mad.
Like a wolf.
I'm mad.
A wolf version of Footloose.
Oh.
Yeah.
In his town, they never dance because he's the mayor.
Well, yeah, in the mayor of Johntown, there's no dancing.
Is there a famous...
In the actual town I'm from, they allowed dancing.
They love dancing.
They were great.
It's Capizio, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, right, is where you're from?
Whoa, what was that? Did you say Capizio? Is that a real place in Saskatchewan?
No, it's a type of danceware. That was
I'm so sorry.
Ballerina reference. It's okay. You'd only get it if you were an 8-year-old girl.
I'm going to go ahead and admit something. When I was in Montreal... For 2003,
you watch your mouth.
Just for laughs.
You watch your mouth, buddy.
Hey, I'm carefully choosing my words. I remember saying, "Which province are we in?" Now, Providence is, of course, the capital of Rhode Island.
Sure.
Not a state of Canada.
Was it the kind of thing you were saying over and over again, though, until someone
corrected
you?
My whole life, until I was 25, I said, the Providence of Alberta. Of course.
I can see that, though.
The Border Patrol.
Oh.
Yeah, they caught me. And they gave me, I don't know how you get punished.
So wait a minute, you asked the Border Patrol what Providence are we in?
Yes.
So that's not, yeah. So
they're like, that is disgusting. Pour out that beer and brush the deer. Brush the horse. I can't remember the punishment, but it was creative.
It sounds like it was about the head and neck.
Pour out the beer and brush the horse, bud.
Buddy.
That's wrapping up getting arrested in Canada in a nutshell. Pour out the beer.
Did you really get arrested in Canada, though?
I have before, but not for saying Providence.
What did you get arrested for?
Well, it was a dance contest at the Thirsty Bear in Waterton, and some of my moves were not legal in that area.
You're lying.
I did nothing wrong.
Hey, bring the truth. You're in Philadelphia, man.
Oh, you
have
God,
you been arrested in Canada, John Doerr?
I've never been arrested.
At all?
No, I mean, I easily could have been, just never caught.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever been arrested?
No.
No?
That's my ultimate fear. That and accidentally joining the army.
I was
this is not as likely to happen as accidentally joining the army or getting arrested, but someone declaring me insane and not being able to get out of an insane asylum.
Because the more you argue, the crazier you seem.
Yes, the more you argue, the crazier you seem. You have to spend, it would just be terrifying.
I don't know that I've ever been arrested, but I was handcuffed and held on the side of the road for a long time until we finally... one of my friends happened to have
let you out.
Yes, one of my friends.
Your friend, the cop.
He just
my friend.
It's just I
Constable
know that
Dave.
We've been hanging out since fifth grade. But you guys, I'm a cop, and I'm this guy's superior.
And
he took the
busted.
Cuffs off. Yeah, it was easy. No, we were skateboarding in the street, and a cop pulled over, but he was in his own car, like a Ford Explorer.
Something.
And he threw open the door, and a news truck ripped the door off his car.
Yes.
And he was very angry at us for that having had happened.
Okay.
That having had happened,
yes.
He looked at us for blame and was very angry. I remember he threw his glasses and they broke. And I said, well, now you have a broken pair of glasses. And he handcuffed me.
Yeah.
And it was because we were skateboarding. So I've been around.
Well, but he handcuffed you for sass, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was getting lippy.
Yeah.
I got lippy.
I don't
think
those scales balance, though, do they?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I mean, you should have been in jail.
Perhaps.
But, yeah, sass doesn't equal let's cuff this kid.
Luckily, my friend Josh Harris, who's African-American, and in Montana, where I'm from, that doesn't happen a lot. African-American babies growing up there. But there was one, a black cop named, I don't know, Constable Harris? Anyway, it was assumed that he was related to the other black Mr. Harris, so that's why we got off.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, is it, though? It's like racism working for you, and I don't like racism in any way, John.
Well, what's cool is that you got off, my friend. And if you didn't, who knows where your life would have gone. You may not have been here today.
Just in the direction of face tattoos put on by some apparatus with a doorbell motor.
You would have been in the... doorbell motor. You would have been in the Gray Bar Motel selling smokes in the cafeteria. But no, you are here with us today.
You're here. Yeah.
That's right.
More gratitude.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Chris Fairbanks.
Let's hear it.
And the shoe phone.
Just kicked it up.
Shoe phone.
My favorite thing in the world.
Yes, mine too.
It's up there. Like, if I had to list, like, 10 of my favorite things, it's on the list.
Oh, you guys. Thanks a lot.
The first time I saw him do it, we were on a show together, and I couldn't believe it.
I kept turning
to the person next to me and being like, wait, did you see that? I think you actually caught it that time.
I do. I can kick my shoe off into my hand without people seeing me loosen the shoe. That's the sleight of hand
part
of
it. The night I saw it, it was seamless.
Yeah.
It's like this thing just flew up. It's almost like it came out of the audience right into your hand so nonchalantly.
That was funny. That's phase one. I don't know.
Sorry.
Some guy doing his best Jim Hamilton impression.
It looked like Jim Hamilton.
You guys don't know who he is.
But Jim Hamilton is a shortstop for a AAA baseball team, right?
Oh, God, he's got an arm. He should be AA with that arm.
Well, yeah,
I mean, he's demoted. He's a drunk.
He should be demoted.
He should be an AA, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see.
And then phase two came along a couple years in where I would take the shoe after using it as a pretend shoe phone and throwing it back on my foot. I realized I was able to do that. So
you could throw it back on.
Yeah, I can throw my shoe from my face level back onto my toes.
Wow. Hanging it up, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Well, we shouldn't talk right now, is what I say, and then I throw it back. And, you know, it does well.
It's good.
It's one of the greatest things because it's silly. Let me tell you why it's great. It's silly and no one sees it coming.
Yep.
That's it.
Right.
It's a silly surprise.
It's not great writing. It's just fun.
It's not writing. It's kind of lazy. But that's what I respect.
I don't know if lazy.
In their face lazy. With, like, I don't give a shit. I'm just going to do this dumb thing.
Really?
Very rock and roll.
I wouldn't use the word lazy. But again, I'm not a writer.
Who's hungry, by the way?
Oh.
I could eat.
We're going to eat.
Do we have time is the question.
Well, we do. Before the show tonight, Karen is headlining.
I'm headlining. Well, it's 8:30 now.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go back.
Yeah.
I'll go do my guitar tuning whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can go eat and then meet me there.
Okay.
Because I'm going to start having to brush my hair pretty soon. I have to brush it 250 times before the show starts.
Right. She has OCD, but it
really
works out in her beauty favor. I have to line napkins at the edge of a table, but it doesn't look me any more handsome. Come on, lady. We don't have all day white pants
to
Labor Day.
My equivalent of Chris Fairbanks' shoe phone for John Doerr.
Uh-oh.
Is this lady going to climb on the wood?
I know. What's happening?
Gosh, she's a little too close for comfort, senior.
My equivalent is John Doerr's classic bit where, I can't remember what you say, it's something along the lines of, isn't it crazy that you can't smoke inside anymore? And then you just smoke a cigarette on stage.
Oh.
Not saying anything.
Yeah.
Remember the night you did that at the Improv?
I don't know if you do that
all the time.
I will do that whenever I really feel like
backfired
so
on you?
Funny.
Thank you. When did it? It only went weird once. I was doing a one-nighter in a pub. In Huntington Beach, I think it was.
That's a bar, mm-hmm. except
and,
in Huntington Beach.
Oh, sorry, a bar, yeah. And a pub is a bar in kilometers.
Yes.
And
bolts.
I did a show and I lit up and the bouncer immediately came over and said, you have to put that out. And the audience was completely silent. And unless you let it kind of draw out, you know, it doesn't. So now it just looks like I'm getting in shit for being an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so there I am on stage saying, yeah, but it's kind of part of a thing. He's like, put it out.
It's funny.
Okay, but there's the audience is rather, put it out. Okay.
I'm not saying I was on his side. You know I'm on your side. But sometimes you hear someone's story and you're taking their side, but you also see the side of the other person. And I'm afraid that in this situation, I understand the bouncer telling you to stop smoking. It is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not against the law.
And I'm not telling him, he did anything wrong. I'm just answering the question posed to me, which was, has it ever backfired? And yeah, I don't know why I'm being grilled here being judged.
No, and I didn't
mean
that.
I'm being judged.
I mean backfire, like in a cartoon where their cigarette blows up and peels back.
Oh, I see. A literal backfire. Like, I forgot who I was talking to, by the way.
Yeah. A cartoon exploding cigar. Yeah. Has that ever happened?
But that's the only time it really backfired. If you're in a club, most people, you can hear the people in the audience sometimes say, I can't believe this is happening. And
really?
Other than that,
they say it like Valley Girls.
I remember once in Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, I did it, and there was a pregnant woman in the audience, and I was like, "Oh shit! Why have I committed to this? I shouldn't have even tried this," because it's not necessarily about. It is about her, but also other people noticing her in the audience, and just the idea of smoking with a woman who has a life form growing in her body in the front row. Probably not the best idea.
But she was like, "Don't worry about it. I do it all the time."
Yeah. I wish.
Something
and
like that.
That was also the same weekend where I ended a show by farting into the microphone.
Well, a lot of people don't know that farting into the microphone will also give your baby a low birth weight.
They were more mad about that.
Yeah.
They said, you've deafened my baby before it's born. It was that sonic boom from the Acme Comedy Club.
Can I ask a question? Was that improvised? Did you know you were going to do it? Did you feel it coming?
Oh, no. I'll tell you. It was
totally planned.
It was a shining moment in my mind, Karen. I swear. I had done this thing where I explained to the audience that you're supposed to end really strong, and I take a lot of time working up to it. And then I just start to walk off the stage without ending strong. But then I accidentally knocked over a beer, and things got clumsy on stage, and then there was kind of like a half laugh, but it needs to be silent for it to be... Anyway, so I didn't know what I was going to end with now, and then I felt this rumble, and I thought, oh my... And I don't know what happened. It was just instantaneous, and I grabbed it, and it just happened, and it could not have been better, and the audience laughed. And then I went backstage and collapsed on the ground laughing hysterically.
Because I am a fool.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it.
You are a fool, but you know when you have a good closer.
Yeah, and then the MC has to go
and farting into the mic.
Pick up the fart mic and talk into it. Just put his mouth near the fart mic.
If you could control it and do it on purpose, closing every show you do.
So would I control my diet?
Yes.
Be that committed.
You should try to do it tonight because we're all about to do the same show together.
We are.
It's very exciting.
We are. It's you as the headliner, Karen Kilgariff, headlining at the Meltdown Theater in Hollywood, California.
In Huntington Beach.
John Doerr. Me. Guy Branum. Branum? Branum.
Branum.
Branum. Well, see, I never have said...
That's okay.
I could spell it.
I could spell it.
And I could finger him in a lineup. But I don't...
Excuse me?
I could point him out if he had done something wrong.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
Jesus, God, you guys. Language Nazis.
Excuse me?
I said language kind of strict dictators.
Nazi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boot-based soldiers.
Boot? excuse me, Karen?
Oh, I meant total krauts.
What was that?
So you're going to fart as your closer.
Even if I can't summon one, I will try my hardest. If nothing comes out, I'll just walk off.
I've seen
that was the intention.
I've seen you summon farts before.
That's ridiculous. You've never seen that.
You light candles, you kill a chicken. It's very spiritual. And the fart cometh.
Yeah, it's the only way I can summon gas in my...
Well, what you can maybe tell by the... audio mic, the car room mic, is that we've stopped and we are at Meltdown, so let's go inside, do the comedy concert. We'll play some clips of everyone.
On while you're in there?
I'll make a little announcement before everyone's clip so it's not confusing.
Cool.
Like I'll go, Karen Kilgariff.
Well, people all know by our voices, don't you think?
No, and then I'll go, Chris Fairbanks.
I enjoy this, though.
I want the old guy to introduce me.
And next up, We have John Doerr.
So it's two old guys and then a fancy guy.
Well, next up is Guy Branum. I don't know his name.
So there we go. By the way, you just recorded the intros. You don't have to do those again.
There you go.
Just isolate those.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I'll chop them up and use the exact same voice.
If you can figure that out.
Okay, let's
idiot.
Go do... Oh, God.
That's a joke. Remember positivity.
Positivity
I was kidding.
Positivity all night long, guys.
Positivity.
And then we'll jump back in the car and finish this out.
Yay.
Okay. Thanks for the ride.
Oh, okay. Well, we're still going to give you a ride.
Oh, yeah. Your ride's not at work.
But thanks
yeah.
for this portion of the ride.
You're welcome.
Like, if I took an airplane to Canada, I would thank the pilot. And then on the way back, I would thank him.
Oh, they don't want it.
Okay, we'll be back.
Beer pet the horse and get the beer out.
Brush the horse.
Brush the horse beer out of your face.
Hello, Nerd Melt. How are you guys doing? You guys, are you ready for one of the best comedy shows you're going to watch during your precious little lives? Because tonight you guys are going to get to watch the very delightful Ms. Karen Kilgariff tear apart your minds and your hearts with her guitar. Also going to enjoy the very lovely Mr. John Doerr and the very lovely Mr. Chris Fairbanks, and of course, myself, the even lovelier Guy Branum. How are you guys doing? What's your name, young lady? Who said classic?
My husband talked.
Oh, okay, that's a valid answer. Classic, I would be questioning why you were placing today. Not even a week after July 4th is one of the best nights of your life. I would wonder if you were part of one of those teen movies where a girl goes on an adventure and learns about herself and finds a boyfriend all in one night. Okay. You never know. You never know where the evening may take you. What's your name?
Yossi.
Yeah. It's a pretty name for a pretty face. I'm unfamiliar with it. I think I've heard it applied to both boys and girls. So I'm going to respect that and defer to that as a real name and not one of those made-up things that parents do sometimes. Yossi, did you happen during the course of my introduction to catch my name?
Guy.
My name is Guy. Good job. Guy is barely a name. The only way that my parents could have exerted less effort in naming me would be if they'd called me Hey Dude. Or that one baby who lives here. Do you understand my point? My point is that all of my life I wanted a nickname. I never had one until college. In college they called me the futon because I was so good at making sex awkward and uncomfortable. Now you guys may have noticed that I'm unusually large for a homosexual. I'm not certain why this is the case. My current working theory is that once my parents realized I was going to be gay, they figured they might as well raise the largest one in the county. If they're not getting grandchildren out of the deal, at least they could get a blue ribbon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for an awesome show? All right, your next comedian is astoundingly talented. And he's the Ryan Seacrest of Canada. Please welcome the very talented Mr. John Doerr.
I don't know how to get into this either, but I wanted to talk about my grandfather. I had to stay with him towards the end of his life. He didn't like living alone. And one night, my friend Robin came over and we were playing checkers in one of the rooms. And unbeknownst to Robin, and Robin I loved, do you know what I mean? Like, Robin was one of those girls where it's like, I fucking love this girl. And she came over to just innocently play a game of checkers. And then my grandfather walked into the room, opened the door, and said, John, your friend has to go. And I thought, personally, he didn't need to do it with his robe open and nothing underneath. Do you know what I mean? That's just my opinion. Like, I think he could have made a better choice, you know? But he didn't, and so he, well, literally and figuratively cock-blocked me, okay? That's what my grandfather did, but I always thought there's no such thing as fate, and there cannot be, because why would Robin, since the day she was born, why would her life be on a collision course with my grandfather's genitals at one point, right? That shouldn't happen. My grandfather, I remember, You know what? Let's just move on to something else because this next part's not going to be good. I'll give you the punchline. Essentially, the punchline is it was my grandfather's leg. Well, I'll give you the setup then because now you're confused. But the setup was one time I got to my grandfather's home and I was so drunk that I decided it'd be a good idea to take a giant bite out of a brick of blue cheese. But it was my grandfather's. Yeah, you got it? Okay, good. Right, white, chalky white with veins of blue mold. You got it? Okay, yeah, they look pretty much the same. Well, it's not my, why is he in the fucking fridge? Not my fault entirely. Let's think about it. Because his memory was starting to go, that's why. I remember the day I knew the day his memory started going. It was the day I caught him urinating with the door open. Not a huge deal, but it's annoying when I'm trying to drive. Fuck. I have memories about this area of town, too. You know, do you call them head shops here? I don't know. You know that store just like two blocks up? You call them head shops here?
Yeah. What?
Okay, good. I'm from Canada originally, so I don't know what you fuckers say, okay? And you know what? We did not. It's not about abandon. We did not abandon the queen, is what we did. We were loyal subjects. We didn't dart off in our own willy-nilly direction like you idiots did. Like, oh, we can figure it all out. Great job, guys. Great job. You know, Canada ended slavery almost 100 years before you did. But that's probably all temperature. You know what I mean? That's all temperature related. Because in the cold, you just make decisions, and you know, it's like, fine, fuck, just get me. I got a shovel, okay? So just get me. Everyone drinks from the same water fountain. We're all equals. I got a shovel, or my wife won't fuck me. That's what the reality is in the cold. But in the South, you're just like, well, let's talk about it. I don't think we're quite ready. Okay, anyway, that might be something. I have a note here. You know the show Murder, She Wrote? Very heinous television program. Like, or heinous title, anyway. Murder is in the title. That's a heinous crime. Probably the most heinous crime. Yet, we put it in the Murder, She Wrote. You'd never see Rape, She Wrote, is what I'm getting at, okay? Even though there's alliteration already built in, and it's not even the most heinous of all crimes. But I guess it's because the scenes would be a little different, wouldn't they? For instance. Imagine? That'd be weird. But, yeah. Do not have the courage to do that tonight. What do you mean, don't go there? I can't go there, really?
You can't go there.
Why? Here we go. Really? He's going to explain it. Yeah. Did you say inappropriate? Okay, sure, yeah. or inappropriate. But you know what? You guys left the queen a long time ago, so don't worry about it. Does anyone else here say inappropriate, by the way? I would say inappropriate, personally. Only because it's right. That's the only reason why I would. You didn't know where I was going to go with it. It could have been the most lovely tale you've ever heard, and now you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear the Rape, She Wrote payoff, all right? I was on an airplane with a lady, and she pulled out a bag and started pulling what looked like Tupperware from home out, and I thought, oh, this can only go well. I love when people bring their own food into a vessel that's airtight. Hard-boiled eggs, three of them. Yeah. First of all, people who eat eggs, they fucking impatient, right? If you're an egg eater, you're like, you can't even wait for it to be an animal before you start shoving it in your fucking mouth, all right? Let it grow into something before you're like, get it in me. It's disgusting. There's more there, but fuck it. Let's just move on. We got to move this along. I was going to say the head shop over here. This year, I'm not proud to say this, but I remember sitting in my apartment watching the Heat and Spurs, and I thought, you know what? Let's spice it up. And as a grown man, I went to the head shop and I picked up 24 nitrous oxide cartridges and balloons and a, you know. And I sat there watching a basketball game and just sucking in nitrous balloon after nitrous balloon. And I thought for a second, you know what? I'm going to be president of this country one day. And then I remembered I'm Canadian. And that's not even allowed because we did not abandon the queen. We stuck with her. We said, let's see this out before we start thinking we're better. Now, okay. I'm going to tell you a story to end off here. I hope you like stories. I used to live in Toronto, Canada, with my roommate, Steve, and we were comedians. He still is to this day. And I went to, self-deprecating. You know what I just realized?
I have never had an epiphany. Huh. That's going to be great, because I hear they're alarming. They're going to be great. If it ever happens, I'll let you know.
You've seen him on Conan. We have the same manager. Please welcome the very talented Mr. Chris Fairbanks.
I had to take my cat to my dad's. I didn't have room in my little place. So I asked my dad, can my cat come retire? I don't know what he did for a living, but he's done. And so I had to put him... When you bring an animal on and a cat, too, I thought they just put it in the bottom of the plane, like with luggage and live chickens. I always assume there's live chickens down there. But they make you carry it and put it under the seat. So that's pretty traumatic for a cat. So you have to make sure that your cat is eligible or not or whatever, able to be sedated or eligible for sedation. There's a list. The TSA gets involved. So I went to a vet lady. And I was like, hey, I'm going to fly with my cat. And she's like, well, let's test his blood. It's only $300. Why not? And so and I had to fly the next day. And she was like, she goes, great. Cat's very healthy. Can totally, because if you don't test the blood, they're fucking six tits up. They're done. They die. Some cats die. Fuck. I'm going back to how scared I was. But she said, your cat's fine. It's very healthy. You can totally sedate your cat tomorrow. And then I was like, okay, thanks. And then she goes, oh, he does have AIDS. And I was like, AIDS? Wow, that's the fucking first thing I would have mentioned. AIDS? Well, feline AIDS, it's different. Is it so different? Okay. Can a person... Like, I'm around the cat a lot, can a person... And she stopped me, and she's like, no, you can't get AIDS from a cat. And I was like, I knew that. I just wanted to see if you knew that. But it was on my mind. Fleas have gone off that cat, burrowed into my ankles. You know? So I was fucking tense. And so I went to the airport. Maybe I drank a bit. Some lady, she was a cat lady with a glittery shirt. I just remembered I was supposed to paint her house in Catalina. Anyway, she... That wasn't a pun. She lives on the island. So I'm nervous, and she gave me a Bloody Mary, and we kind of got drunk. And so as I was getting on the plane with this old lady who was so supportive, to her as a joke, I'm like, AIDS cat coming aboard. AIDS cat coming through. This cat has AIDS. I just said, but then on the plane, it kind of traveled into everyone's ears. So I just basically yelled, AIDS cat. And on the plane, the cat started, once we were airborne, the cat started making a noise that sounded kind of like this. I'm a fucking human. Not the last part, but fucking human noise. Eyes... Owl head 360s and eyes crossing, like in an 80s movie when someone gets kicked in the balls and the pain is like, duh. My cat was doing that, crossing its cat eyes and panting like a dog does, tongue undulating and dripping. And I'm looking in the little mesh window. I'm like, fuck this noise. And I unzipped it and let the cat out. I don't give a fuck about any of these people. You know when a baby's crying, the mom's like, ignore them. I'm like, cat, enjoy. Don't die. I thought he was dying. He looked like he was dying. And the cat just kind of walked up and down the aisle. I'm like, yeah, what are you going to land the plane, sky waitress? Fucking my cat's going for a walk. Say hi. Say hi to people. The cat went back further, and I heard some old lady faintly, and it was pretty terrific. She goes, don't pet that cat. He has AIDS. I was like, see? Thank you, you guys. Thanks.
Chris Fairbanks, everybody. Okay, are you guys ready for your headliner? This lady is so funny. She's so smart. She's so good. She's the former head writer of Ellen. She has 6 goddamn Emmy Awards. She was the head writer of The Pete Holmes Show. And she's one of the best fucking comedians working today. Please welcome the very talented Ms. Karen Kilgariff.
Password again, I have no idea what it could have been. Tried my old dog's name, my birth date. I tried 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But I guess it slipped my mind, cause those little blue words came up every time. Did you forget? Did you forget? I gave up and I clicked yes. Why do I pretend? Whatever I come up with, I will just forget again. Why don't I break down and use your name? It's the only thing that's in my brain that never seems to go away. I think I lost my phone again. Oh, holy shit, it's in my hand. Something's really wrong with me. I'm not the man I used to be. I can barely text my friends, and then when I do, I don't hit send. Something's really wrong with me. And I said that already. When does this part end? When do I go back to being smart again? Or will it just get worse and worse each day? Is that the only way my brain will ever let you go away?
Yeah. It's important to applaud quickly after the sad ones, because I'm up here by myself. Like, it's like I took my shirt off and you're just staring at me, essentially. You're like, well, I don't know if we care about your feelings that much. It's a comedy room. There was one moment the song ended and then it was that crickets, like, crickets. More like cricket time. I've had this pedicure going for probably 9 months, I think. It's not toenail, it's all polish. Front row gets extra stuff because they came early. Oh. All right. I haven't played this one in a while. Thank you. My mom's here. Everybody's been in a business situation. Everybody has suffered under fluorescent lights. We've all said, oh my God, how much longer will I be here? And oh my God, what is happening in my life? And everybody stood in a corporate kitchenette, just staring at a cupboard full of creamer, scared to death that they'll never find real love, scared to death they'll only get meaner. Oh, you only get this one life. Sorry, Buddhists. Better make sure you're doing it right. Right now. Because you could feel a lump in the back of your throat and find out you have stage 5 cancer. You could get shot by a little kid or plow into the back of a Mitsubishi Lancer. You could take a moonlight cliffside stroll and then fall into the sea erosion. You could hit your head on a Murphy bed and forget me, forget me. Oh, you only get this one pass.
like a fucking asshole. Cause see now everybody's been in a business situation. Everybody has suffered under fluorescent lights. We've all said, oh my God, how much longer will I be here? And oh my God, what is happening in my life? We can't afford to be innocent. Stand up and face the enemy. It's you. It's a do or die situation. This is a straight up business situation.
That was the end of the concert.
Yep.
Yep.
We did good. It, guys.
We're in the green room.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to the car now.
No, we don't need to go to the car.
We're going
to
finish this right here.
We should do some rails.
Yeah.
And then we should tell some stories.
I'd like some sweets.
That's what I really want to do. That's the difference between what you're saying and what I'm feeling.
Oh,
I
yeah.
would really like to do that.
The difference between you thinking I don't mean it and the reality is that I absolutely would do it.
The funny thing is we don't ever address John's Coke problem.
well, I don't have a problem.
It's working
Let's address
out.
That right away, too, yeah. that I don't have
hey,
a problem.
You do have a problem if the only solution is more Coke.
I didn't say that was the only solution. I just said that would be a lovely idea.
Is there another solution?
You know
Coke?
What?
Smoking.
Well, oh, in like a direct alternative to Coke?
Yeah. Pour over dark roasted coffee?
Just a really good hug from a friend.
Oh.
That's always nice.
But the right friend.
Got to be the right friend?
Yeah.
Coke over coffee is a true white Russian. Do you guys have... Welcome back to Do You Need a Ride? We just heard a comedy concert cut up in snippets. I haven't done it yet.
No, it'll be good.
It's going to be great.
And John Roy's with us and sitting
here. Hey, John Roy.
Hello.
Wait, shout out. God. This is like a real green room hang.
There's got to be... John, yeah, root around and see if you can find another microphone.
And let's be honest. Chris has had a few drinks, so that's another reason why we're not in the car.
What are you talking
about? You were going to be driving anyway.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get so drunk that I can't even be a passenger. Is that a bad...
Yeah.
Sometimes I get so drunk I can't podcast. Can you imagine?
Oh my
it's terrible.
God.
But you once got arrested for drinking and driving when you were a passenger. That's how drunk you got.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. funny. This guy can't be within the vicinity.
Or he causes cars to just fall off the cliff.
He's so drunk he makes cars. He creates cliffs.
I've had some drinks too. Car go off there.
I have to say for this discussion, I'm just so excited this show's over because it's stressed me out.
How did you feel? Yeah.
I felt fine. I don't know.
You were lovely and hilarious and great. And
thank
like
you.
It's such it a. What's interesting, if can't, no or yeah?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, no, but because it's kind of what you're doing now, too. Like, the push and pull of being sincere and revealing, but also the responsibility of being a comedian. And that seems to be, like, a bit of a war, even though the audience is fully fucking enthralled with what you're doing.
I know. But it seems like I don't care what they think.
But you do a little bit, right?
Obviously, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you see it.
I just almost feel like I need to tell them just in case there's one person that might think anything. I need to be saying like what the absolute truth is. It's
right.
That thing, which is not professional or like it's not what most people do. You kind of skim over that and pretend it's fine.
I do it all the time. I think you and I have that in common.
Yeah, in our performances.
Well, I call attention to truth too often when I should just be like, I'm an entertainer and you're fully engaged.
Yeah,
but
oh, look
say
at
that
this.
Sentence but all can the I... time, just after every joke. Just
wait,
say
wait.
That exact
hey,
sentence.
Guess what? John, you're about to get plugged.
Aw, shit, get ready. Get ready.
Chris, I'm going to say something related
Start
to what you were just talking
about. Start by whispering and then build up to full talking.
Look at this.
Chris.
We're now doing full...
Can you hear me in the cans, as they say?
Right now. I can. Hey, John, welcome to the podcast.
What's up? Good to be here.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for having...
This is the first time
thanks for having us.
Four people?
Four on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's
feel
start.
Feel the power.
Wait, it's not
was
allowing
that a
me to.
Or American? Was that a comedy troupe?
Now it is.
No,
there was a Canadian...
Four time and like a disco beat.
There was a Canadian...
Is it? I thought it was a car thing.
Four on the floor is what they described, like, Charlie Watts playing, like, you know, just...
Oh.
Record producers will call that Four on the Floor.
Yeah, cool, I totally knew that.
There was also a Canadian sketch troupe called Four on the Floor.
Oh, yeah?
At one point.
Who
yeah,
was
they
it?
Had like
four of them on the floor.
No idea. I honestly have no idea, but they did I'll pull it up here, but they had like I think they did like
a
comedic songs and stuff. I think they had a TV show for a bit too.
They did Mr. Canoehead. 70s?
No, 80s for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Four on the Floor.
Like if I put in, are you familiar with something called Mr. Canoehead? Oh, look, it came right up.
Of course I am.
Are you using
yeah,
Canadian Google
four
right now?
Four on the Floor. It's a Canadian sketch comedy troupe.
Yeah, it's Google.ca.
7.5 out of 10. They get some good reviews. That guy's dressed like a nun, and that guy's dressed like a Mr. Canoehead. It's amazing.
Mr. Canoehead is not only the name of the character, but there's a drawing of a man with a canoe for a head. So it's not like metaphorical.
I think it was a guy who got struck by lightning while walking through the woods wearing an aluminum canoe.
Oh.
I can't remember. I don't know for sure.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was recurring for sure, and it welded to his head. So he was Mr. Canoehead. Yeah, yeah. But going back second, because like
guys,
those moments...
Sorry, I have to stop and tell these guys to be quiet out there.
We'll wait.
Okay. God, that must have been a funny joke. There's another podcast going on in the next
room. It's called Laughies. John was trying to make it sincere.
It's called
in this room.
They're doing a podcast called Podcast Ruiners. And they do a podcast where they travel around trying to ruin other people's podcasts.
And it's super easy because there's always podcasts everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. So everyone in
they
LA
drove by outside Marin and their
yeah,
car backfired.
Real funny doing your laugh thing. It's a bunch of shit, man. That's what
they said.
It's a pretty good
episode. And they're like,
But no, I was going to say, because when you were doing... Okay, there is like that push and pull, like that... The struggle to be sincere and also combine it with comedy. But, you know, when you do comment on things, and you are you aware, like, that's just you reacting in the moment, but are you trying to be funny in those moments, or is that you trying to recover from something that makes you maybe feel a bit awkward, or no? Yeah?
Yes, it's all those.
All those things? Because it's funny, so that's kind of what makes the show, don't you think? And it's kind of
yes.
like what Chris was talking about, maybe, because tonight, and you could even play a clip from it if you wanted to, not trying to produce, but... as a micromanager,
I don't have that kind of editing capability, but I'll learn.
But it was hilarious.
Time to open up GarageBand.
But tonight,
you would get better because of him.
But yeah. tonight when you said, not closing on that. And it wasn't even like a second and a half after, not even half a second after you'd finished the joke, you realized
yeah,
in your
hilarious.
Head you weren't going to
yeah,
finish
well,
it.
You also led into it with like a sing song, you're like, nah, close it on that. Right.
It if something isn't working, you got to mug it up vocally.
Yeah, but you're contributing to, yeah, you know what the audience is, you're feeling the audience, and know, yeah.
Well, was that where I went wrong? Where I went out and I actually started feeling the audience?
When don't
you went
feel
out
them.
And started touching them.
Yeah. But we did a podcast and we did this weird show at this art place downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Bartoloni, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's a lovely man. We love him. He's great.
Yeah.
Huge comedy fan himself. But it was, I felt like I ate it, like literally silence. And I just had that rage and bad feeling after a set. And we talk about it in the podcast, me, Henry Phillips, and Chris. Mm. Then Chris plays a clip in the podcast, and there's totally laughter.
Right.
And after that podcast, I realize I'm way crazier than I even realize I am. Like, I think I'm pretty aware of how crazy I am, but I'm super fucking crazy. And I just can't even trust my own experience when I'm on stage.
Right. Because
it's always worst case scenario in a way that I can't hear it. Like, I can't. It always feels like I need to recover, even though I don't need to recover.
How did you feel tonight went? Like let's say, like, a perfect show, 10 out of 10. How would you feel tonight was?
Oh, it was...
It was great.
It was great.
Okay, good.
It was,
yeah.
like, above the line.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean? Like, I
yeah.
doesn't...
When
I felt happy.
Did the Nico K song you actually... You made a prediction of that it would go wrong in a certain way, and they would give you polite chuckles, and you had, like, a whole nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
And then you said, we'll see how it measured up. How did you feel...
That it measured up?
Yeah.
Better than I thought it was going
okay.
to. Because actually, that song rhythmically is really hard to play.
Why?
Because it's this. It's a way of playing the guitar
yeah.
that's like, it seems super simple, and it's actually like, It goes like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. It's this weird thing that's not standard.
Yeah, no, and you're dancing between...
That's already frightening.
Like
yes.
C and E minor and G, was it? I couldn't tell, but it was like you were dancing between chords. And it felt like
yes.
they were coming on weird notes.
It's yeah. very weird, and then yeah. like it's easy to lose your place, and I knew if I tripped up once, then I would be like, why are you even doing this in the first
Much
place?
Much like the National to. Anthem, if I'm not mistaken, guys.
Go ahead, Christopher. Yes. Go ahead.
In the Star-Spangled Banner is hard to sing.
Oh, our National Anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Canada's.
No, but I know when you say National Anthem, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You're yep. assuming because you're in this country, it's yes. ours.
Yes.
It's our National Anthem.
I adapt, by the way. And I, by the way, a green card holder here. So,
oh.
Yeah, permanent resident.
He's actually
I'm much more
holding
now.
It.
Good, I know.
Actually holding
He's holding it.
It
above his head like John Cusack and say anything.
Well, I'll show you my green card just for fun. But is there anything more embarrassing?
He felt pressured to.
And I do feel like, you know, when you're watching a hockey game and it's, you know, Canada versus United, like an American team versus the, or Canada versus United States Olympics or something, and you hear the national anthem, okay, you feel a little bit of pride. But then when you hear the Star Spangled Banner kick in, you're like, oh, our national anthem doesn't even hold a candle to what you guys have.
Well, I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No, not at all. I think
you like our.
I like O Canada.
I'm saying that I like O Canada, but I'm saying when Star Spangled Banner kicks in, it's got like. Rockets, red glare, jumping octaves, more opportunity for like experiment. I don't know. It seems like
off
madness.
Your song for the Olympic song.
Oh, I don't even know what the Olympic song is.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's the same thing as O'Canada.
It's close. You're right. Yeah.
A biter.
Yeah. It seems like what you're holding.
Star Wars as well.
You've handed your green card to Karen, and as I saw it passed, I noticed it was not at all green.
Top
line's green.
It is. Green. It's green like how
hardly,
money is green.
Hardly.
It's not bright green. You're always
picturing
it. It's
khaki at best.
You thought there'd be little leprechauns on it?
My khaki card?
Oh, well, you tossed it by way. I might as well look at it.
I'm a khaki card holding permanent resident.
You know, it's funny now that I'm looking at it.
It
is quite green.
Did you win that in the lottery?
Do they have to shove it down everyone's throat with Lady Liberty on there? Come on.
Good thing we went there and circled back around.
Everyone held it.
Did you say Lady Liberty? Did you just say Lady Liberty?
No, Chris did, I think.
Oh, you said Lady Liberty.
I did say Lady
Liberty. I said, did you win it in the lottery?
No, I did not.
Because Lynn, you know, I know so much about Canada because Lynn and I were roommates.
Lynn Shawcroft, yeah.
Yes, Lynn Shawcroft.
Yeah.
And she is a Canadian who I met very early on when I moved here.
Yeah.
And then she would tell me things like how the money's called the loony and the doubloony, or she told me about chicken fries. We used to lay around, and she would tell me Canadian stories. It'd be like, I got hit by a truck once, and then I just went right into the emergency room, and it was free. I was like, what? Tell it again. It was like she had all kinds of Canadian stories.
Yeah, but I know that story so well, too. Like, Lynn did get hit by a car once and had to go to the hospital. Like, she broke her legs, and like ages ago.
I think the car broke her legs.
Pardon me?
The car broke her legs, but go on.
You mean like she didn't do it herself?
She didn't break her own legs.
Well, you don't know, though.
True, I see
Thank
where
you.
We're going now.
See,
I'm a step.
We're going down the literal alley.
How correct you are, Chris.
Yeah, he's very accurate.
Take holes in stories.
Do Aboriginal. Do Aboriginal joke.
Do Aboriginal.
It's fun for comedy.
Right
it's
now?
Just fun to do.
Well, you know what?
I love it when they stop the story.
I know a little bit about history, and the Aboriginals were the first Australians with stomach muscles. A lot of jokes. It's funny how a lot of jokes.
But it's not,
that was a thinker.
It's not just Karen said what is her. She squinted to the point where it's like.
Ew. Yeah. That's what I really meant.
It's hard. It's hard to hear. It's a sinker. It's a thinker and a sinker. You got to let it sink.
It's and a then podcast it sinker.
Think, and then it makes you sink. Oh, nuts.
Yeah, but yeah, no, Lynn has got some great Canadian stories, for sure. But yeah, that's one of them. It's like, up there, we do have this thing called...
socialized medicine.
I have
it's beautiful.
Is it pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, I'm uninsurable because I had a heart thing when I was born. But yeah, I got the Obamacare $250 a month thing.
Okay, so for $250 a month, you do have some health care, whereas before you were completely uninsurable?
Well, okay, here's what happened. There's a state that I lived in that had a high
Tennessee.
School that I could be in Illinois. So when I lived in Illinois, I had health care.
Illinois, Tennessee?
Yeah, because they had a pool for people like me. And so when I moved here, I didn't really fully move here. I
swimming
kept
style.
Residency in Illinois, just to get the health insurance.
So dog, I finally dog had to paddle move only. Here,
and so now I didn't have insurance for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and I went to the hospital in Vegas. I had a $24,000 bill. I had pneumonia. Yeah, no one's paying that.
That's
so
right.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
But now, if that were to happen, the most
the thing is, we're none of us are wearing headsets, so John can't even tell I'm talking.
Thank God. Yeah.
Even though I am talking, he can't.
It's so crazy. What are you whispering?
Stuff you won't even know until you
socialize
back.
Whispering. It's all free.
I didn't sign
Canada,
up for that.
Canada has hey, socialized whispering.
I don't think I've. Have
you
I,
get free whispering
free secrets.
All your life.
Free secrets. Your
I
entire
don't
life.
Think I know. I'm going to go ahead and admit to the. I don't know.
Nothing like a sh-
I don't know.
Like
o Canada. I don't know. O Canada.
I don't think
oh,
I do.
If
either.
You don't
Canada.
Mind.
Our home and native land
with true chicken fries and free emergency rooms.
And when you get
hit by a car or not, we'll take you if you're
sick. That's my version.
If you're hurt,
I'm if you're
just feeling blue, come on in, we'll take a look at you.
And if you like having fries with maple syrup on them.
Well,
you're
you have
Canada.
To. It's required.
It's not
hockey night. Hockey night. Everybody turn on hockey night.
Isn't it funny that we went into an accent that doesn't exist?
Well, yeah, but it's close.
Pretty close.
What did you say? You
does said, Tim Hortons have a song? It seems well, like you love Tim Hortons
commercials,
as a country.
Commercials have, Tim Hortons commercials would
what
have a
the
theme.
Song? I've got enough.
You're always at home. Or is that it? It's you're always at home. Is that it? You're always at home. Is that it? Hold on. You're always at home.
That's catchy.
Is that
I like,
it?
I like it.
So that's how it goes. That's pretty cool. No, I think it's like, you're always at home. Is that it? Hold on. You're always at home. Is that it? Hold on. You're always at home.
Is that it?
That's
is that it? Yeah.
Yes, that is.
So that's, no, no, so no, no. But genuinely, it's like, yeah, you're always at home. Is that it? No, no, I got it. No, you're always at home.
I like their old.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. You're always at home at Tim Hortons, something like that.
Oh,
is that it?
That is
that
it. That is it.
Is that it? Is that it? That
I like
it.
Their old jingle that says, "Tim Hortons, you want cold sandwiches and kind of hot coffee, bland as shit, Canada."
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Is that it?
Yeah, well, I think that's it.
Yeah. Tim Hortons, I used to be a hockey player. Did you know that? Tim Hortons was a hockey player.
He was a hockey player. Oh, yeah. He's a hockey player.
He played a hockey player. He played, I believe, for the Buffalo Sabres.
Oh,
possibly. That was my Steve Coogan impression right there.
Oh, God.
Stretch it. Say it while you stretch.
And I was the fall guy. Have you guys watched Alpha Papa, the Steve Coogan movie?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it? Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I love everything
oh,
he does.
Me too.
It's
I fucking
amazing.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Alpha Papa, the Alan Partridge movie.
Oh, it's really funny.
You know they're making another one now?
What's that?
They're making another one?
Oh, like a sequel to that?
Yeah.
And oh, shit.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be... Yeah, I guess it would be a sequel. They're going to make a second one. And they're also making more of the Mid-Morning Matter show that he did.
Oh,
they're
really?
Making more of them for Sky.
That's the,
for Sky
the radio
TV.
Show?
No. You may not have seen Mid-Morning Matters. It's the YouTube show sponsored by Foster's.
No, I didn't see
oh,
that.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking
oh,
good.
Oh, I have to see it.
He's now on...
Mid-Morning Matters.
Norfolk Digital.
Okay.
Or as Partridge would say, he always says, we're on North... You're listening to North... You're listening to Norfolk Digital... North Norfolk Digital Radio. Anyway, always just cracked himself. But yeah, he did 12 or 10 episodes.
If I was a total noob,
I have to see that.
What would I start with? If all I know is the Michael Caine bit from The Trip, what would I need
so,
to do?
I would start bit. With... to be honest with you, I'd start later than earlier. I'd go to I'm Alan Partridge, season
okay.
1 and season 2. And then you can... Yeah, if you like that, keep going.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I like British. I just got done with The Thick of It. I watched all of mm-hmm. that. Like, I love
yep.
British stuff.
The
so
Thick of It.
He's yeah. the greatest. That character is
so,
so
good.
Brilliant.
He
the
makes
writing
me
is so,
so
good.
Happy.
Yeah.
Steve, Alan Partridge makes me happier than anything.
The best yeah. is when he walks in and he's singing. And is it This Is Alan Partridge? Which I can't remember which one is. When he lives in the motel.
Yeah, that's I'm Alan Partridge. Yes.
That's I'm Alan Partridge.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
he
yeah.
He walks in singing Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights and he's
right.
like. I wanted you, I needed you too, whatever. And then yeah. the woman behind the counter goes, bad dreams in the night. He goes,
don't
sing,
Susan,
don't.
It's bad.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then Lynn, his assistant,
yes.
he just tries so hard and he treats her like shit.
It's the best. If you haven't seen, I am Alan Partridge.
I am Alan Partridge. Yeah. Season one.
Is it like a Larry Sanders thing? I mean, not that it's
ish to a point. Like he does a radio show. That's as close as it comes to like exposing that.
But the character's so huge.
It's totally character driven. It's completely driven by like Steve Coogan's character, Alan Partridge, which has been developed over years and years over different formats. And then this is he did another show, Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Yes, which is also hilarious.
It's great, yeah. But I like him operating in a real world as opposed to, like, you're watching a show, you're watching a TV show, and it's him on a stage being a talk show host the whole show, whereas this is like him walking through life in, you know, Norfolk. Is it Norfolk where he is in the first one? I can't remember.
I think it's Norfolk.
Norfolk. You're right, it is Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Yeah, they're not pronouncing it right.
It's two L's.
Yeah, it's funny.
It might be three L's.
It's one of the reasons I never watched it and why I've kind of tapped out on this conversation.
Because you don't like it?
Okay. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. I kind of don't know who Steve Coogan is.
Okay.
Jeb Rossick.
Uh-huh.
24 Hour Party People? Did you see that movie?
I saw that.
I think it's about
it's him.
New Order, kind of.
Well, what? Yeah. New Order. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Warder.
It's about the happy. It's their version of Hoarders.
Yeah.
New Order. Yeah, yeah. The Division.
90s Hoarders.
Yeah. Joy Division transferring into being New Order.
I got into that movie until they tried to tell me that the Happy Mondays were a great band. And
you can't really swallow that one.
With this movie right now.
Yeah, that's not true.
It's the band that stole all their equipment, New Hoarder.
Oh, I love
that. By the way, that's sarcastic laughter from Chris.
I don't know. That's the way it's
Can we be done pretty soon? I want to go eat.
Yes, be done. Let's be done now.
I mean,
drive.
Should we have wrap-up feelings?
Yeah, should we do for the wrap-up? Should be some sort of like closure to this? You guys, run your show. What the fuck happens?
Look.
I'm getting mad.
You took your front dildo. I made it my back dildo.
Yeah.
I didn't pull up my shirt enough for people to see it. And honestly, I don't think that during your set people even knew that came out, at least during the recording of this, because visually no one sees your fake front dick.
Well,
and then I made it my back dick, and then I don't think that anyone fake would recognize dick. that it was actually a real back dick.
Are you saying the real audience?
I'm just saying that if I was given the option of having two dicks,
by the way,
now, and I want to make this point.
But if people were just listening to that point, that sentence you just explained is enough to drive someone crazy. If they were on the verge,
I want
to
type it.
Know what we were talking about, they would go crazy.
What? I'm just simply trying to make the argument that if I were given the gift of having two dicks, I would not, like a lot of people I know, have a dick on each hip and ignore my God-given... I would have one up front and one in the center of my middle back. Because think of the scenarios. A lot of people would have them like six shooters. Here's my right
middle back. Yeah, why?
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
That would be impossible.
Two girls, back to back. One's aimed at your front, one's aimed at your back, and then you kind of go between them, and then you have sex with them.
I feel like that's the logical place.
Thank you, Karen.
Because hip to hip doesn't make sense.
Well, I understand people hip to hip, but those are people that want to dance.
Oh, my God.
I get
so
it.
So you hip gyrate, and so imagine you have penises on both your hips, and you're like, two little girls.
On the couch.
Or girls.
What?
And
two what?
Two of the little butt of the
ladies.
Girls. Yeah.
Okay. I know that when I say little girls, a lot of people get up in arms, but I'm talking about two adult consenting 30-year-old petite ladies.
Yeah.
And then so I want a back dick where one's in that.
30 because it's a decent age. It's decent.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gonna be like
I'm at the age where 30.
It's not gross.
Okay. So anyway.
Thank you for having me, by the way. I enjoyed myself thoroughly the entire evening and the show was great. It was fun. Thanks.
Are you trying to change the subject?
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you thank you.
Well,
why can't it? Now hold on a second. Why can't a grown man stop things and say thank you? Why can't I be sincere for a moment? Why can't I be genuine?
Listen, John, I know you've hosted a number of Canadian shows. However, on this show, I am the host, and I am the one who wraps it up. So when you go willy nilly, to use your dumb Canadian language, I am the one that ends these shows.
I might suggest that we start doing this podcast in this green room.
John, I'm.
Yeah.
during other shows.
I'm really glad that you were on the show, too, and I'm about to wrap it up myself.
I'm also the host of the show. What do I get to do?
Yeah, let Karen do something.
Instead of you saying
you're the host,
Karen and I are going to wrap it up simultaneously.
Chris is wrapping it up right now. He can't see that I'm talking because...
Yep, we have to lock in. That's right.
Just as an aside to you right now, you know what? Karen and I are going to do it together.
As a third aside, I
have a really good low voice. Like
you're peeking. You're peeking.
Sorry.
I thought I was whispering.
What do you mean? She was banging
it against her moving lips.
Did you peek? Did you take a look at the levels?
I peeked it.
Okay. Oh, this is the perfect time.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for having me.
That's so loud.
Peeking.
You guys. You've been listening to
Do You Need
a Ride?
A Ride.
DYNAR.
Honk, honk.
Beep, beep. Look out.
Lynn, my legs.
Oh my God.
Oh, thank God the hospital's free.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go get some chicken fingers.
Okay.
Well, morphine.
Maybe you should go to the hospital and take care of those chicken fingers.
You always have time.
Ooh, I'm going to have my chicken fingers removed.
You always have time. Is that it? You always have time. Is that it?
That was it.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.